sing a load of in you on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
Good morning, me amigos. This morning, we wrap up our week of automotive programs with a doozy of a story. Ever given thought to that phrase, it's a doozy? It's a sample phrase, a superlative. It's a testimonial to an outstanding automobile and the genius of two brothers named Duesenberg, a standard against which all automobiles are measured, even today. The mighty, the stylish, the Duesenberg. Hey, before telling their story, let me say thank you to Joe, Woody, and the boys of the road crew for our theme song. If you need a theme song for your epic road trip odyssey or some road trip inspiration on a cold winter's day, take a listen to their tunes at roadcrew66.com. And now, with that said, let's get to this morning's story. In 1885, the German-born brothers Frederick and August Duesenberg arrived in the United States. They were ambitious, they were talented, and they were visionaries. As did many automotive pioneers, they capitalized on the bicycle craze that swept the country in the 1890s by building bicycles and promoting them through racing. By 1900, the brothers began modifying gasoline engines, installing them in their bicycles, and then they launched a line of motorcycles. In 1901, Fred Duesenberg opened a garage and repair facility for automobiles in Des Moines, Iowa, and then acquired a used Marion car. Through experimentation, the brothers redesigned the air-cooled engine, making an array of improvements that enhanced performance. Then Fred entered the car in a race at the annual county fair in Mason City, Iowa, and he claimed first place. But this was just the beginning. The brothers Duesenberg were about to change the world. In 1906, Edward R. Mason, a Des Moines attorney, launched the Mason Motor Car Company with Frederick Duesenberg as the developmental engineer. The engine designed by Duesenberg was an overhead cam valve, twin-cylinder engine with both bore and stroke being equal at 5 inches. It produced 24 horsepower from its 196 cubic inches, and it enabled the Mason to quickly earn a reputation as a rugged and powerful automobile, as well as a superb hill-climbing competitor. Just as Alanson Brush had done to demonstrate the prowess of the introductory model of the Cadillac, Fred drove the vehicle up the steps leading to the Iowa Capitol building in Des Moines, Iowa. And then at the top of the steps, he turned the vehicle around, descended the steps, and repeated the display in reverse. In 1910, the Mason Motor Company was sold to Fred L. Maytag, but the Duesenberg brothers chose to continue work on the development of high-performance cars for use on the race circuit with financial backing from Edward Mason. In June 1913, Fred and Augie struck out on their own, and they established the Duesenberg Motor Company in Minnesota for the manufacture of engines for aircraft, automobile, and marine applications. Woefully undercapitalized, the company struggled until 1916, when a United States government contract was received for the manufacture of marine and aircraft engines. This allowed for relocation of manufacturing to a large, modern facility in New Jersey. The brothers' reputation for the engineering of high-performance engines was growing, and shortly afterwards, Ettore Bugatti contracted the Duesenberg Motor Company to build a 500-horsepower V16 engine. In 1919, the brothers sold their interest in the New Jersey company and relocated to Indianapolis to produce a performance luxury car that used the recently developed prototype single overhead cam Duesenberg 8 engine. In the early spring 1920, production commenced at the new factory established for the production of racing vehicles and components under the Duesen brothers' name, and then passenger cars under the Duesenberg Automobile and Motors name. The first Duesenberg passenger car rolled from the factory near Indianapolis Speedway in 1921, and it featured the brothers' revolutionary straight-eight engines, as well as four-wheel hydraulic actuated brakes, and it carried a hefty price, $6,500 to $8,800. Obviously, reputation and advanced engineering were not enough to carry the company, and in a relatively short time, bankruptcy was looming for the brothers. Enter into the story Erich Loben Cord. Cord was still in his teens when he began buying used Fords, converting them with speedster bodies and reselling them for a tidy profit. The trucking company he launched to provide services to remote Western mining companies did not fare as well, but he rebounded quickly, relocated to Chicago, began selling Moon automobiles, in a few short months had risen to regional sales manager. Then through contacts in the banking industry and deft maneuverings, he gained control of the nearly moribund automobile company, Auburn. In 1926, he purchased Duesenberg Automobiles and Motors, and within 5 years would acquire Stinson Aircraft, Lycoming Engines, and gain controlling interest in the Checker Cab Manufacturing Company, as well as launched the revolutionary front-wheel drive Cord. This is all part of the Auburn Cord Duesenberg enterprise. The Model X Duesenberg harnessed the power of the 100 horsepower, 322 cubic inch displacement, single overhead cam, inline eight-cylinder engine that had been used in the Model A, but with modification that included the generator and water pump being relocated to the rear and manifolds moved to the right side, the Model X was the last model built by Duesenberg before its acquisition by Cord. The car would continue in limited production, but E.L. Cord had shifted focus and resources to development of what is now the legendary Model J Duesenberg. The new company was renamed Duesenberg Inc., and Fred was appointed vice president of engineering and experimental work. August was tasked with producing Duesenberg racing cars. Resultant of his work, a number of engineering achievements, including centrifugal superchargers, would find their way onto production models of the Auburn and the Cord. In 1928, at the New York City Auto Show, Cord introduced the Model J. It was the most powerful, most technologically advanced production car in America, and it was stylish with luxurious interior appointments. The twin overhead cam developed a reported 265 horsepower. But the base sales price of a chassis without body or coachwork was an astounding $8,500. To put that into comparison, you could walk into a Ford dealership and buy a top-of-the-line model for just $585. As Cord's goal was to create the world's most luxurious and most powerful automobile to compete with the likes of Rolls-Royce or Hispano Suiza, the Model J underwent a near continuous series of improvements. The 265 horsepower, 420 cubic inch inline eight-cylinder engine produced 80 horsepower more than the competing Cadillac, powered by a 452 cubic inch V16. Then came the companion SJ model, a true game changer. Outfitted with a supercharger, the SJ was rated at an astounding 320 horsepower. Even though the production models averaged 5,000 pounds in weight, their performance was still extraordinary. An SJ convertible coupe was tested at the Indianapolis Speedway and reached a sustained speed of 129 miles per hour, a new record for an American production automobile. In 1935, Abe Jenkins broke this record by reaching 152.1 miles per hour, and a streamlined car dubbed the Mormon Meteor was driven for 24 hours at Bonneville with an average speed of 135 miles per hour. By October 29, 1929, the company had manufactured 200 cars and only an additional 100 by the end of 1930. Fittingly, the limited production Duesenberg was marketed with bold slogans. One of my favorites, the only car that can pass a Duesenberg is another Duesenberg, and that's with the first owner's consent. The Model J and SJ quickly became the ultimate status symbol for the ultra-rich and the famous throughout the world who commissioned custom bodies from companies such as Durham, Judkins, Murphy, and LeBaron in the United States and in Europe. Counted among the proud owners were Harpo Marx, Gary Cooper, Clark Gable, Howard Hughes, Mae West, Greta Garbo, William Randolph Hearst, and members of European royalty such as the Duke of Windsor, the Prince Nicholas of Romania, Queen Maria of Yugoslavia, King Victor Emmanuel III of Italy, and King Alfonso XIII of Spain. Even in the best of times, a company that manufactured limited production cars that sold for astronomical prices would be challenged to survive. Even bolstered by Auburn sales, the bread and butter of the company, and Cord, the company struggled during the depths of the Great Depression. Compounding the company's woes, Fred Duesenberg died on July 26, 1932 of pneumonia that resulted from injuries sustained in an automobile accident in Pennsylvania while behind the wheel of a Murphy-bodied SJ convertible on his way from New York City to Auburn, Indiana. In 1937, Cord's intertwined financial empire collapsed. The final chapter for the once mighty Duesenberg was rather anticlimactic. Parts on hand were gathered and two more cars were assembled, one for German artist Rudolf Baer in April 1940. Used Duesenbergs appeared on car lots, and even with prices equal to that of an old Ford, remained unsold. But a few savvy buyers acquired the once prestigious automobiles, and taking advantage of the powerful drivetrains and heavy frames, well, they converted them into trucks. The Duesenberg name is enshrined as the car to which all others are compared, the Doozy. Today, the survivors are highly prized among collectors, and when they change hands, the price is often in the millions of dollars. The Auburn Cord Duesenberg Museum, housed in the former factory and headquarters in Auburn, Indiana, is a revered shrine for automobile enthusiasts, and it comes with a Jim Hinckley's guarantee. That is a museum that needs to be seen. Well, my friends, that is the short version of a long story about the simple phrase, it's a doozy. As tomorrow is Friday, on Wake Up with Jim, we will be delving into the mail and email to answer your road trip and travel questions. Now, to wrap this up, I want to give a shout out to Louis Keene and his team at Uranus Fudge Company and General Store along Route 66 near St. Robert, Missouri, and at their new store near Anderson, Indiana. Superb fudge, memory-making fun with endless displays of juvenile humor, escape rooms, a circus sideshow museum and miniature golf, and a smile-inducing gift shop make Uranus a must-stop location for any fan of the great American road trip. Well, my friends, with that said, I suppose we need to wrap this up. I do hope that you enjoyed the program this morning, and I hope that you will hope you see you soon. Take care, my friends. Vaya con Dios.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.